Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, and how that's informed your work here so far.
Well, a little bit about myself. Okay. Well, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And my family lived there, but most of my family was multi-generational Texans. They were back in Texas, back in the day. But I grew up in a different environment than the Texas environment. And but after I graduated, I spent most of my life, my adult life, in the Texas area. All my life, I've been a service-oriented person. And I began a nursing career back in the late 70s because I just really enjoyed serving others. Worked full-time and attended college as an adult student. I changed careers in the late 80s because I was just, my back wasn't going to be able to allow me to stay in nursing, which was, it was kind of heartbreaking. But I got into chiropractic and I earned my doctorate in 1990. And I was in private practice and I owned a physical rehab center. And so during the early 90 years, not 90 years, but in the 1990s, I actually went around the country to six different locations around the country, and I taught physical rehabilitation to chiropractors and podiatrists and to teach them how to do a clinic regardless of your budgetary constraints. And then around the year 2000, I came to a crossroads in my life, as many of us do, and I was able to choose how I would spend the next couple of decades. What I did after I sold my practice was I decided to become a classroom teacher, wanting to continue serving the community. Because what I noticed was that whether I was in nursing or whether I was in chiropractic or whether I was with my family, I just enjoyed teaching. And I saw a real need. When I was in practice, I saw a real need to have students make a connection from the classroom to a job. A lot of them didn't have a lot of vocational training in school, but so when they got out on their job, they were, you know, it was awkward. They just didn't have a lot of those job-related skills. So I became a teacher, and I started out as a middle school science teacher, and then evolved into high school science teacher. I taught dual credit anatomy, physiology. I taught advanced placement biology. I taught international baccalaureate biology. And anyway, I just love teaching. It was just so fulfilling. Well, during that time, I met another teacher, Michael Lancaster, and I got married, and I followed him to Alaska. One thing I knew about Alaska was that there were so many villages, and there was a huge need for teachers that truly cared about kiddos. So we spent 8 years on the North Slope. I taught science, and then at that point became an administrator. I saw a real need for administrators that cared about kiddos. So, having taught in those villages, I learned both sides of the learning spectrum. I learned about kids that had huge educational gaps and strong, a lot of adverse childhood experiences. Then I had my previous experience with the high accelerated kiddos that needed those strong enrichment classes. So I felt like I really had, you know, from one end to the other in how to teach different kids and everything in between. So I also learned that when you have all these different levels in a classroom, you have to diversify your lesson planning. You can't just do the one way works for all. So I really got just immersed in diversifying lesson planning for not only different learning abilities, but also different grade levels. In addition to earning my doctorate, I earned a Master's of Education Leadership and a superintendent endorsement from UAS. So I was actually involved here in local secondary or postgraduate learning. So as I come to this position, the experiences that I had growing up in Albuquerque provided me a culturally diverse background because there's lots of tribes in that area and different cultures. Owning the businesses showed me how important that career technology is in the school district and on the job training for young adults. It's required. I mean, you just have to know how to do the next step. You know, whether it's going on to college, you need to be prepared, you need to be confident as you enter those campuses. Or if you're going straight into the workplace, you have to have an equal amount of confidence in going in and saying, you know what, I feel like I'm prepared. So having my own business really showed me how important that is. Also, when I started attending these colleges at later in life, it showed me that I really am a true lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a lifelong learner, it serves as a model to, you're never too old to learn. And I really believe that when you continue to keep learning new things, it's like you almost never grow old. I mean, it really enriches your life. It gives you a different perspective. So being in Alaska after teaching in Texas has allowed me to compare the two educational systems and determine how to meet the needs of each of the students. I plan to stay in Wrangell, and I'm buying a house here. My husband's a secondary educator, and he's returned to the North Slope because of the large teacher shortage up there. We've got 4 children, 8 grandchildren. My granddaughter Zoe's here with me for the next 2 years. She's a junior, and she moved down here from Point Hope. So she has some different experience, too. And we're delighted to be here. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And, yes, so you taught in the North Slope. Tell me how that has informed your philosophy, especially around Native populations.
Yeah, up on the North Slope, of course, they have a very strong cultural presence. The Inupiaq people take a lot of pride in their traditional ways. And it was a district initiative to make sure that our lessons included cultural components in all of the lessons, and that's actually a state requirement as well. But having moved from a very deeply ingrained cultural presence to this environment, it's different. In the summer, I met with Levy Brock. And we had some discussions, some rich discussions on, you know, bringing culture into the school district and with a more obvious presence. And we talked about, I told her, I gave her a bunch of ideas that I had, and we talked about, you know, how these can roll out. And I said, I will support, you know, whatever ideas the community comes up with, I'll be supportive. I can... I'm used to this. I think there's a huge need for it. People need to understand their roots. And so what I've learned being involved around all these cultures is that language is typically at the root of the culture. So I want to encourage language and dance, subsistence activities, storytelling, traditional values, you know, whatever the community thinks is truly at the heart of the needs. So I need to really hear their voice and then honor their requests. I look forward to sitting down and brainstorming with the stakeholders whenever they're ready. I know that Levy had scheduled a cultural awareness or two-day cultural camp, so to speak, at the secondary school in September, and it had to be postponed until November, so we look forward to having that roll out. She's talking about different kinds of things that students can come together and do, and that's kind of exciting. And
So you're saying you're going to listen to the community for that kind of guidance.
Right. Well, because, you know, I've been around a lot of different cultures. I even lived in Hawaii for a while, you know. And what you do is you hear what people want. I can't tell somebody else what their culture needs. Mm-hmm. So, I want to hear it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned Levy. So yeah, you mentioned that you've been connecting with the community and talking to different stakeholders. Tell me, who are some of those people you've been hearing from and what they are saying?
Well, when I first arrived, I did the new person protocol of going around to community leaders, like people at the city, the city manager, and different people in the city offices. I went to meet the police chief. I went to meet the hospital administrator, the Ministerial Alliance, the Forest Service, the Healthy Coalition Alliance, and the Port Commissioner. I went to meet a lot of the leaders that I could get in contact with. However, when I moved here, I connected with community members in a more natural way. You know, when I go to the grocery store, I make sure and talk with people. When I go to the bank, when I go to the clothing place, when I go to the restaurant, when I sit at the airport, when I, you know, just wherever I go, I'm interested in hearing what people think about how the school district, what direction they want to see the school district go in, what they like about it, what they want to see more of. That's what I want to hear. And so some of the things that the people are saying, almost without fail, everyone mentions longevity. Are you here to stay? They've expressed concern about the administrative turnover over the past few years. They want stability in this school district, and research shows that stability is really good for kids. It helps with everything, because you can make long-term plans and you don't have to feel like you have to rush through initiatives and things like that. They also have a big push. I'm hearing a big push for educational options. So some of the stakeholders want like strong enrichment programs for kiddos to be able to take advanced placement or dual credit classes. We also are talking in the curriculum committee and the policy committees about having independent studies so that people could take so many things and asynchronously. You know, they don't have to be tied to the classroom. I mean, we've got the whole world out there. We've got technology on a global level. You know, the kids should be able to take things. But we have to make sure that we have the proper policy in place, and then it is reviewed by a curriculum committee. But there's a concern and a desire for their kids to be able to learn all kinds of things. There's also career technology education. Desires in the community for kids to be able to learn maritime activities. They could be trained in different job entry opportunities. I recently toured the Technology Center in Anchorage and saw they have 29 different programs there. And when kids graduate from that high school, they are certified to, you know, enter into entry-level positions, and that really helps people plan and hope for the future if that's their nature. Now, of course, you've got other routes, the college-bound route, and anyways, but the concerns of the community, getting back to that, is that the kids have these options. And another thing that people have talked about is the safety plans and how we're going to address bullying and roll out our discipline matrices that we have in place. So they want clarity, and that is going to have to be communicated thoughtfully, methodically, and purposefully.
And yeah, a big concern for people in the community has been communication between the district and parents and teachers even. Tell me, how should we be going about that?
Well, it's really clear in our newly adopted strategic plan that we have to develop a communication plan. And although most districts in Alaska don't have communication plans, because we've been asking around, we have really made some strides in getting that process going. We, first of all, Mrs. Powell sent out a survey via email. She advertised it. She had a link. It was advertised on the web page. She had paper surveys on available here. It went out a number of ways, but it was a survey to determine how people wanted to be communicated with. And over the over half of the respondents said email. So we definitely want to include that anytime we're communicating, is to go through that route, in addition to our website, which is being continually updated. Where it's going through its renovation and revamping to make it more user-friendly. And, of course, text. We have an automatic text system to give out broad messaging if there was some sort of a change in a schedule or something. If anybody has a number on file, it would be able to be automated. Facebook, our Facebook page is widely seen. We're going to use everything, every venue or every outlet that our survey indicated we needed to use. The newsletters are still going to go out, the weekly newsletters. I write a weekly summary of my activities each week, and that goes to the board members to keep them informed about what I'm doing and what the schools are doing, you know, in general. So anyway, the plan is in development. I'm working with Mrs. Powell and a few other stakeholders on exactly how that looks like. And we actually have a page that people could preview on the webpage called the communication plan, so you can get a peek at what's in store.
Absolutely. And maybe just on that note real quick, you know, what are the things that you feel like should be communicated to the public readily? And what are things that maybe you would be hesitant to communicate to the public? I know that was a big concern for us in the springtime. And I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I think communicating anything that does not invade anyone's privacy or violate FERPA, anything that's just an information change, schedule change, logistics, if we're changing a meeting from this place to that, that sort of thing should be communicated readily. If anything involves singling out a student, a group of students, or staff, a group of staff, anything that can single those people out, we're not at liberty, because we're preserving rights, to share that kind of information. And I know that that's not always well received, but we have to respect the law, and so
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So if we're given specifics about people, no, but if we are giving general logistical information, of course.
Okay. Awesome. And last question, You've worked on the North Slope. You've been in other districts. Tell me, what is working in Wrangell's district right now, and what are some of your concerns for Wrangell's district?
Well, there are so many good things in place here. I knew that after the couple of days I spent here during the interview process, I could see that there's a lot of good stuff in place. And that has been a very welcome bit of information for me, is to know that the traditions, the collaboration that a lot of the teachers go through consistently, they are good at coming up with some of the best things for kiddos. We've got a lot of good teamwork going on here. We need to continue developing that. in a meaningful way across all of the schools. Some of the concerns are obvious in that we have so many new people. We have some key people that have been here 30 plus years retiring this month. So we have two of those leaders coming in and being trained. Of course, they're from the community, so that helps. But the other new people, like me and the two principals, we've never grown up in Wrangell. This is all new to us. The new teachers, we're, in addition to learning our jobs and our responsibilities of a new place, we're also learning how things got to where they are, so that we can make informed choices. And all of that learning takes time. You don't just walk in, hear everything, and then you're fine. You have to chunk it. You have to put it in its place. You have to really synthesize all information in order to make informed choices. So we're not able to make snap decisions sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's warranted. We have to. But most of the time, we have to research and figure out exactly what's going on, what's been the protocol in the past, what does the new strategic plan say, and how are we going to move forward. So it's more complicated than it appears to be. So it's a lot of processing of information. But we've got a lot of committees in place. Every single one of them has met so far, every committee that we have in place, and we have some new ones. And people are really stepping up to the plate. We've got a lot of staff that are energized by the direction we're going in, and we're moving forward.